men, living and dead, who did these things, we dedicate this program,
The Dam Busters,
presented by the author himself, Paul Brickhill, dramatized by Morris West, an Australasian radio production.
Good evening, this is Paul Brickhill. Since the great dam busting raid, 617 Squadron had been given very few missions of any importance, and those that were spectacular had generally gone against them. Temporary commanding officer Mickey Martin and his men were wondering seriously what the future held for them. Their fate was decided at high level. Sir Arthur Harris, Chief of Bomber Command, made his decision and sent for Cochrane.
617, Cocky. I've been giving it a lot of thought.
Well, so have I, sir. Well, so have the boys themselves. They're afraid of being disbanded.
That's the last thing we'll do with them, Cocky. We'll make them a special duty squadron. They won't engage in ordinary operations, but whenever the Army or the Navy want a dam or a ship or something clouded, well, we'll put 617 onto it.
They'll like that. Keep the Army and Navy happy, too.
That's right. Another thing, Cocky. We'll put all the old lags into 617. That's just the thing for them. Make them the old lag squadron.
I think that's about all you'll get for it, sir.
Huh? Why?
They have the reputation of being a suicide outfit. And they very nearly are. Martin's had quite a bit of trouble getting new crews.
That doesn't matter. Keep the numbers down, keep the quality up. Besides, I've got another idea.
Huh? What's that, sir?
Wallace's 10-ton baby. Now, they're too big and too expensive to waste on ordinary operations, where the bombing's likely to be damned inaccurate. 617 can be trained as a sniper squadron for super-accurate bombing. And Harry's here. Who? Oh, good. Send him in. Wallace is here now. I asked him to come down. We've got quite a few things to talk about. Come in!
Good morning, Sir Arthur.
Yeah.
Cochrane.
Nice to see you, Wallace.
Well, take a chair, Wallace. Let's get down to business. Now then, how's the new 10-tonner coming along?
We'll have the first prototypes ready for testing in a fortnight.
Well, that's fast work, Wallace.
Yeah, better than I expected. Now listen, you. We both know that one of our biggest problems today is the accurate aiming and delivering of our bombs. Well, it's everybody's problem. We don't tell the public, but even on blanket raids, there's an enormous wastage.
Well, don't the pathfinders help?
Yes, quite a lot, but not nearly enough. Take Krupps, for instance. As you know, we've made more than 100 attacks on Essen. We've had anything from 18 to 1,000 aircraft delivering a huge tonnage on the works. But significant damage, really significant damage, is still very limited. And the works are still in operation. Well, there you are. That's our problem.
I know it very well. Even on the dams raid, where we're using a bomb site made of nails and bits of plywood.
Well, I think it's time you had another look at Richard's invention. What does he call it? The stabilizing automatic bomb site? It incorporates a gyroscopic mechanism. It's quite uncannily accurate.
SABS. Yes, I've heard of it. I've always been interested in it. What's your view, sir?
It worries me. It always has. To use the SABS correctly, the boys have to make a straight level run up to the target for 10 miles. They're like sitting ducks for the flak. In my view, the wastage of crews and aircraft would not be justified by the result. Look at our present figures. Losses, 4%. Doesn't sound much when you say it like that, but it means that in every 25 operations we lose one whole squadron. We can't afford that, neither in men nor in machines.
You people know your own business better than I do, but Wouldn't it be wise to try this new bomb site? If only in training operations. After all, there must be certain missions where it could be used without too many losses. It seems a pity not to give it a chance.
I like that thought. If 617 is to be a sniper squadron, they, at least, could use the new site. If it proves worthwhile, then its use could be extended to other units.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
There's another point, sir. Because of our present primitive methods, we're forced to the practice of low-level bombing. If this gadget works, we could switch to high-level operations by using the pathfinders to give us a clearly marked target.
Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're really getting somewhere. All right, Cocky, we'll give it a try. We'll start training 617 on the new bomb site.
Come in, Mickey. Sit down. I've got news for you.
What sort of news? Good or bad?
Well, depends on the way you look at it. As you know, the Tirpitz raid is off for the time being.
Yes. What's new since then, sir?
Well, I think you'll like this bit, Mickey. There's a new bomb coming up. A big one.
One of Wallace's?
One of Wallace's.
How big?
About 10 tons, I believe.
Holy smoke, we'll never get the damn thing off the ground.
Yes, you will. The catch is, though, that they'll be very expensive, and you'll only be able to carry one. So every bombing run will have to be bang on.
It'll have to be high level for a monster like that.
That's right. So this is the new job, Mickey. You'll have to learn ultra-accurate high-level bombing, and you're going to be practicing till your eyes drop out.
What do you mean, ultra-accurate?
You've got to get down to an average of under 100 yards from 20,000 feet.
But it can't be done. It just can't be done.
The AOC thinks it can. He's got a new bomb site coming up, which is absolutely the last word in accuracy.
I'll believe it when I see it. When's it arrive?
Tomorrow. There's a fellow named Richardson coming in first thing. He's a squadron leader, boffin type. He'll teach you how to use the new site.
Well, if he can teach the boys to pinpoint from 20,000 feet, he's a better man than I am, Gunga Din.
Right, boys, right. I want you to take a look at this. It's the loveliest thing in the world. It's the neatest, sweetest little job you've ever used. And before we're finished here, you're going to love it better than your girlfriend, eh? it'll keep you 20,000 feet up and put your eggs dead on target.
He sounds like a car salesman.
No. I don't have to sell this thing. It's so good that when you've seen it working, you'll give all your deferred pay and buy one yourself. You'll take it home and put it on the mantelpiece and tell the kids about it, if you ever have any kids, which I doubt. Well, let's get to work, eh? Yeah, to work. As you see, the gadget looks like an ordinary bomb sight, but bulkier. That's because it's fitted with a gyroscopic arrangement. I'll explain that later. Now, our first job is to see what you have to do to make this thing work. If you do your part, this little beauty will do all the rest, eh?
You mean we've got to create the conditions and this thing will deliver the eggs?
Well, now, basically, the condition required is a dead level run at constant speed for not less than 10 miles. You get that? 10 miles. Now, that sounds easy, but you all know it isn't, eh? Well, you'll be working from 20,000 feet, and the smallest error will throw you right off target. You understand? For this job, therefore, every member of the crew will have to have a double function. The gunners will have to help the navigator. The navigator will have to help the bombing, and so on.
It's all yours, bombing. I'm waiting on you. All right, skipper. Steady, you're going too fast. Slower. Left. Right a bit. Right. Steady. All's gone.
Richardson here, skipper. May I take over?
Yes, take over.
Richardson to crew. We'll We'll see when we get down, but my guess is that you're nearly 250 feet off target. Your approach was too fast, Skipper. You didn't watch your correction on the airspeed indicator.
I thought I had it right that time.
Probably a false reading. Those indicators vary with altitude. Did you check your altimeter?
Yes, I checked it.
We'll have to work out the pressure lamps and take thermal readings as well. Now, Gunners, you're out on your drift calculations. The navigator can't make his corrections unless you help him. All right, Skipper, you can take her down now.
Captain to crew, going down, boys, going down.
Well, Martin, how's it going?
Slowly, sir, slowly. It's such a ruddy, complicated business, and it's taking the boys quite a time to settle into teamwork.
Well, if you don't mind, Martin, I'll make the next flight with you. Richardson's been giving me the gen, and, well, I'd like to see the problems for myself.
You mean you'll come as bomb aimer, sir?
That's right. I'll come as bomb aimer. As a matter of fact, it might pay you to run a little book on the result.
As a matter of fact, sir, I was thinking of doing just that.
Leveling out now. Let me know when you're on target.
Bomb aimer to captain. On target now. Left. Left a little. Left. Steady. Right. Right, right. Steady. Steady. Bomb gun.
Sir, very nice work. Your average error was only 38 yards off target.
Did you make a profit on it, Martin?
Matter of fact, sir, I'm afraid I didn't.
Well, you'll know better next time.
Oh, yes, sir.
Anyway, if I can do it, I don't see why your chaps can't.
Do you mind if I tell you something, sir?
No, Martin. What?
I nearly kicked the rudder. I nearly kicked it.
If you'd done that, I'd have had you dismissed from the service. And now I'll tell you something, Martin.
Yes, sir?
I won a couple of quid myself.
Cochrane put the 617 pilots well in their place. They had been rather pleased with themselves, and it hurt to know that a senior officer with little recent operational experience and no specialized training could do better. There was only one thing for it, so Mickey Martin drove them back to their training.
We don't know how to use this bomb site, and that's one problem solved. But there are a hell of a lot of others that we haven't faced up to yet.
Yeah, I'll tell you one, Skipper. We've still got this 10-mile run over the target. We're flying level and steady. We're sitting ducks for flak. All the Germans have got to do is hold us in their sights.
Yeah, well, you know, that's always been one of the problems with the SABS. I've been thinking about it a lot. Now, suppose you did it this way. The whole flight circles the target. A big wide circle, like... Well, like the Red Indians in the old Western picture. Yes, great. Well, then, someone gives the word and you all turn inwards and come over the target like spokes in a wheel. Then the gunners don't know who they're firing at. What is that?
Yes, but what happens when we all get in the middle?
I see. No. That's quite all right. You all fly at different heights.
Then we drop our bombs on one another and not on the target.
Oh, yes. Well, I hadn't thought of that. Oh, there must be somewhere around it.
Well, just a minute, chaps. Just a minute. I think Richardson's got something. Here, let's get to that blackboard. No. We circle the target. That's the first suggestion.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We're at different heights, okay?
Yeah.
Now then, the markers are down, the skipper takes a look, and then orders a all in. Not one under the other, but converging slightly. Look, like this. See what I mean?
Yes.
I get it. But look, so why come in all together? Why not just one after the other in a normal way?
Because we're trying to cut down the flak risk.
Ah.
One plane at a time gets all the flak. But if 20 are coming in, there'll be only one gun against each aircraft. 20 times less chance of being hit.
What if they put up a box barrage?
Oh, we're too widely scattered for it to do much harm. Anyway, that's what I think.
Yes, well, looks fair enough, too. What do you think about it, Richardson?
Well, you know, my dear fellow, I think it's more than half the answer to the flak problem. Well, now, let's take another look at this temperature problem. Our thermometers are showing errors up to 5 degrees.
Well, Martin? There it is.
Oh, good, sir.
The Chester Herald has approved the squadron pad.
Yes. Well, this I must see, sir. What did he say?
Well, read it.
Uh-huh. Your communication, etc., received. We regret that we were not fully aware of the circumstances attaching to the choice of this device, and we would not in any circumstances wish to interfere with the royal prerogative in this matter. The device is therefore approved and registered with the College of Heralds as under. Oh, this should be good. Yeah. Will you listen to this, sir?
Mm.
On a roundel, a wall in Fess, or is it Fessy? Yes. Fracted, oh, I care for that, sir. Fracted by 3 flashes of lightning in pile, an issuant from the breach. Water proper.
It's quite an honour, you know, Martin.
Oh, yes, sir. I was just thinking...
Hmm? Thinking what?
Well, it might be a good excuse for a mess party, sir.
And when did 617 ever need an excuse?
Yes, sir, I see what you mean. Well, do you approve, sir?
I don't... disapprove, Martin. Provided always it doesn't interfere with the training program.
Oh, no. I see what you mean, sir. In that case, I think we'll have a party.
Excuse me. Smoker's cough, you know. I've been trying to cut it down.
Ah, poor old Concave. Listen to him, fellas. He's got one foot in the grave.
You know, he's dead already, but he won't lie down.
Oh, break it up, chaps, break it up. No need to be insulting.
He's dead all right. Should be buried.
Hey, that's a great idea. Why don't we bury him? Hey, now,
wait a minute. Wait a minute, fellas.
Hey, fellas, we need a shroud. Hey, pass me that table.
Oh, now, look here.
Right, over his head. Right, over his head, boys.
Oh, no, look here. Now, set the
little right, get
a poor
boy.
Blighter like that. You gotta do the thing decently.
Where's the padre? Padre! Padre! You're gonna jump for you here.
What's the matter, chaps?
We've just had a casualty, padre. Poor old Concave has coughed himself to death.
Oh, dear.
We're gonna bury him. Well, we need someone to read the burial service.
Well, and a fellow like that doesn't deserve the rites of the church. He should be buried in Potter's Field.
Padre, he wasn't a bad sort of chap. We can't let him go out like this.
No, lads, I'm sorry. The bishop wouldn't let me do it.
Oh, well, there's nothing else for it. We'll have to do the right thing by him ourselves. Put him on the table, boys. Douse the lights. Somebody bring candles. Oh, poor old Concave.
All ready? Now let's read the burial service.
Quiet, fellas. Quiet. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The Lord don't want you, the devil must. Concave Goodale, you're now officially admitted to hell. And your punishment will be to be tossed eternally in your own shroud. Right up with them, boys.
Hey, look out. Cut it out, fellas. This is beyond the joke.
Get them, fellas. Up with them. 1, 2, 3.
You wanted to see me, sir?
Yes, Cocky. It's time we did something about the press.
Hmm?
2 or 3 times in the last week we've had this sort of thing. Look at this. Crackpots writing in and complaining about the incidents of drunkenness in the Air Force.
Well, I suppose there's the odd outburst which requires disciplinary action, but, well, for the rest...
It makes me sick, this unctuous rectitude on the part of people who owe their safety and their lives to these boys.
Yes. Pity they couldn't watch the boys when they're walking onto the aircraft. See their faces as the trucks are pulled away. Follow them up into the air. See them strapped into a seat, deafened by noise, waiting for flak and fighters, homing through the fog. Why don't people understand? Now, why don't they?
We've got to make them understand, Cocky. But these boys aren't boozers. They play hard because they've got so little time to play.
Well, what do you suggest, sir?
Get the public relations boys onto it. Get some good writers. Men who feel and understand. Let them tell the public what's going on. What these boys are doing. What a debt the people owe them.
Would you like me to take it up, sir?
No. No, I'll handle it myself. Oh, now there's something else.
Yes, sir.
We've got reports in from our last raid on Peenemünde.
Oh, yes, sir.
It's a wonderful job. Wonderful. You almost wiped the rocket factory off the map.
That means?
That means we won't get rockets in England for another 6 months.
And some people talk about a drunken Air Force. Well, gentlemen, your target for tonight is again the anti-air viaduct.
No, not
again. Oh, you've had one crack at it. But tonight, you're going to use the new bombsite. It's an easy run-in, so you'll be able to give the SABS a fair trial. You'll be using 12,000-pound bombs with light casings, so that you'll get the maximum effect from the blast. Well, I think you've got all the details. Any questions?
I understand the flak's heavy now, sir.
Yes, that's right. The Germans moved a lot of stuff in after our first raid.
It'll mean a lot of searchlights, sir. May have trouble in defining the target, huh?
We expect that. You'll have to rely on the gunners to do the best they can.
Could we have flares, sir?
No. We thought about that, but decided against it. You'll have half moonlight, and we feel that should be enough.
Yeah, very good, sir.
Well, that's all, chaps. Right. Once again, good luck.
Thanks, Captain, the wireless operator. Give me RT, please. Okay, skipper. Good in. This is Leader calling all aircraft.
This is Leader calling all aircraft. We should be over the target in 3 minutes from now. The moonlight is fair, but we can expect searchlights and heavy flak. We will circle the target and come in towards the center as we planned. Gunners, go for the lights. A lot depends on you this time. There you go, chaps. Coming in over target now. Leader to all aircraft. I am making my run now. Captain de Bomhammer, let me know when you are ready.
Bomhammer to Captain.
Well, I'm having trouble, Skipper. Can't see the viaduct for the lights. That's better. I can see it now, Skipper. Target coming up. Left. Left. Steady. Steady. One gun. He missed it, Skipper. Oh, blast, blast. Lead her to M, Mother. Come in now. Leader to all aircraft. Bad luck, chaps. Looks as though we'll never hit the ruddy thing. We're going home now. Over. Captain the Navigator, give me a course, please.